Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Listen, all right, I'm gonna pull back the curtain. We do that in this industry sometimes, and I got to do it right now. Full disclosure, just because we're a radio station does not mean we're immune to getting construction work done to the building. They are working on the roof, apparently. I couldn't tell. Jades, couldn't tell. They are up there on the roof working, and sometimes it's really loud, and sometimes it's not. So we're going to play a little game today with the Hooligans. Just text roof every time you hear the roof, every time you hear work on the roof. I want to see if you guys can hear it. I do. I just want to learn. The first advantage text line is 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. It's been loud today, Jades, huh? Pretty loud. I know it was loud during Clark and the Coach. It's a little loud. So we'll, you know what? We'll get through it together. We're going to have a blast today, no matter what. But I thought we could have some fun with that. See if there's any listeners that can catch some of what's going on top of us today. On the big roof. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What a game yesterday. They survived. Denver survived. They're not going to get swept, which is surprisingly waking up this morning, just reading different tweet, going on Twitter and, you know, the different media outlets and such. Surprisingly, and maybe not surprisingly, this is a big deal, Jades. Should we be like, oh, those are the expectations to not get swept? Or should we be like, I'm really pumped. You didn't get swept. Joker avoids being the first MVP ever to go 0-8 in his next two playoff series. That would have been a bad record to carry, especially when you got, you know, the MVP naysayers out there constantly saying Joker shouldn't be the best player in the league. So that avoiding that was nice. Let's get into the game. Let's talk about this game. Denver wins 126-121. They now go to San Francisco for game five. And they are 9-point dogs in that one. Woo! Biggest spread thus far. But if they can do what they did yesterday, who knows? Maybe they bring this thing back to Denver and you make things interesting. I'm not there yet. We're going to do the hype house on Wednesday. We're going to get a little nutty in that one, Jades. We're going to get a little goofy cuz it's, you know, you're playing with house money. This was a weird game. Steph Curry, still coming off the bench, was 10 of 14 from the free throw line. A lot of people are asking me, like, 3 of 11, does that scare you? Does that worry you about Steph Curry? Or I guess not worry you, make you happy? Dude, Steph Curry's done this a lot in his career. He shoots the 3 more than anybody in the world. He went 3 of 11. Sometimes he goes 7 of 11. Sometimes he goes 6 of 11. Sometimes he goes 3 of 11. Sometimes he goes 2 of 13. I've seen him do it. When you fire off that many shots, your efficiency rating is not always that great. I'm not taking, like, Steph's the best shooter ever. But he has a lot of games where I'm going to throw it out there. I'm good. I've got quantity here. Throw as many, and that's how they coach him. I want as many shots from you as I can get because I know you're going to hit a few of them. He still had 33 points. He was 10 of 23, 3 of 11 from the three-point line, coming off the bench. You know, Jordan Poole came back down to planet Earth, which was nice to see. He had 11 points. He was 3 of 10. He struggled mightily. Klay Thompson was frustrated with him, too. not giving him the ball at the top of the key a few times. What do we got here? We actually have a legitimate excuse, by the way, and we have a weather guy. Tanner does not go to the roof. Dixon says, good thing they're working on the roof so it doesn't cave in when 53rd place in the bracket challenge. Tanner Schwent goes up there for a couple hours. No, it's our own weather guy, Cody Wilson, of Denver Front Range Weather. He's going to the roof. And he, knowing about weather, can advise us when it would be safe to go up there with the wind and the roof and all that. So he's going up there. I don't know if that meant, did that mean you heard it, Dixon? I don't know if you heard it or not. A lot of big plays in this game. Aaron Gordon, another Aaron Gordon sighting. Two in a row, you've had Aaron Gordon play well. He had 21 points, 6 boards, 4 assists. I expect those kind of games from him. Will Barton, awful game. A non-factor until the three. Until this three that essentially iced the game.
Jokic on the roll, kicks it out. Barton for three, the dagger!
That made it a 5-point game with like 7 seconds left. So, hey, even though I think Golden State's kind of superhuman, I didn't think they could come back from that. And they didn't. And those of you that are, where's all the Will Barton hate now? Where's all the Will Barton? I mean, he had 6 points, bro. He was minus 12. He was not good. He was 2 of 7, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line. He's still the same Will Barton. Yes, that went in. That could have very well been anybody on this roster. I've seen Gordon make that same shot. I've seen Bones Highland. Love Bones. I've seen a lot of guys. So that doesn't erase the heartbreak that Will Barton caused. Win or lose, I'm not saying necessarily they win that game because of that bad 3-point attempt by Will, but they certainly don't. They certainly, that sealed their fate. And he comes around, hits a big shot. Good for him. Good for him. Whatever. Personally, that's great. Joker gets the assist, though. That was a game where I'm watching Joker, and he looked like a man possessed. He looked like he could not be stopped, and he was going to take matters into his own hands. He was taking one-on-two a lot. You know, nobody was... he had times where there were guys out on the wing wide open, and instead, he just kept taking it. He looked like he was kind of done sharing the ball for a moment. I'm not saying that's a negative thing at all. He was just a man possessed. He looked like a guy that didn't want to go 0 for 8, be the only MVP to go 0 for 8 in his next two playoff appearances. Let's talk about the last few seconds of the game. You know, a lot of the Joker critics are saying, wow, if he's MVP, why are you taking him out with, you know, in crunch time, late defensive situations? Because Joker can't guard guards. Is it rocket science, bro? Joker can't guard guards. Boogie Cousins can't guard guards. Giannis can't guard guards. You want me to go through every center that's ever existed? Because I can. Shaq can't guard guards. Just write it down. That should be a shirt. Jades, write that in the good idea book. Centers can't guard guards. And if you ever forget that fact and go, well, why is he not in the game? That's because centers can't guard guards, bro. Steph Curry, what is he, Jades? What is his position? Guard? Thank you. What position does Jordan Poole play? Does he play guard? What position does Klay Thompson play? That's also a guard. Okay, Andrew Wiggins. He's not really a guard, but you know, he's close enough. Joker can't guard him. Gary Payton II. He's a guard. They had guards in because they want to hit 3-pointers. They want quick shots. That's Golden State. If Draymond Green would have been in the game, he wouldn't have been given the ball to shoot. He would have been given the ball to facilitate. That was a smart move by Malone. And I've heard people, well, Joel Embiid would have been in there if that would have been him. Then your coach is an idiot. You take him out in that instance because what, Jades? Centers can't guard guards. Noob says, I want to take that mouthpiece that Curry chews on and throw it on the roof. Is it okay? You're a younger guy, Jade. Does it bother you that Steph just chews on his mouthpiece all the time? It kind of bothers me. Not enough to where I'm like getting really upset about it, but it bugs me. Maybe when he's playing the Nuggets, it bugs me even more. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. I'm having fun with this, man, because they were done, right? Everybody said they were. I go back around. I listen to other media guys, you know, just to see where their thoughts are. I got some great friends in the Denver media market, and they were like cooking them, man. They were done. Oh, this team's over. There's no fight left. They don't want to go back to San Francisco. They don't care. You forget one thing. These guys are professional ball players. They want to play basketball all the time. And they got another opportunity to do that. Let me go down the list here of guys that just stepped up. Austin Rivers, he only had 3 points, but 5 mega steals, including the big steal, where we're seeing the, you know, the video that went nuts for Joker, where he's like telling Austin Rivers that it's going to be a lob down low, go down there. Well, according to Katie Wingy of Altitude Sports and Altitude TV, they all knew. The bench knew, Michael Malone knew, everybody knew where it was going because film study. They knew that that was going to be in their arsenal late if it came down to that situation, because everybody and their mother thinks they're going to try to get open for a quick three. Let's lob it down to, wasn't it, Andrew Wiggins down there. Well, Rivers read it as well, and he made the steal, his 5th steal. What a play by Austin Rivers. Bones freaking Highland, man. That guy is ridiculous. He had 15 points, but he was putting the moves on. He was putting the moves on Klay Thompson. He had one in the corner on the sideline, right around the 3-point line. He was dancing. And he went around Klay, found an open Aaron Gordon for 3. It was a beautiful thing. Bones Highland is going to be a special player in this league for a very long time to come. All right, Jades, we need to get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Well, I mean, it's pretty good for me. I mean, this should be great. Nuggets survived. I don't even know how I feel about Wednesday. I don't know if I feel any pressure at all for this team. You avoided the sweep when everybody thought your goose was cooked. Well done, Denver. Found a way to get it done. 126-121. The bad for me is really not that bad. It's just baseball. The Rockies lose. They had a doubleheader because they postponed. What was the game? Was it on Friday? They had to reschedule and then have the doubleheader set for Saturday. Well, game one, they lost 13-0. It was awful. And then they bounced back and just win a quick little measly 3-2 game. I mean, wow. That's baseball, though, sometimes, right? The difference of pitchers. Not the team, not the lineup necessarily, but the pitchers. That's why when I say the Rockies aren't deep, they're not deep in the most important position. However, some good things are happening for this team right now. Sitting at 10-5, they won the series against Detroit, which I was unsure of. They're 10-5. They have yet to lose a series. And by the way, Chad Kuhl is really good. Bill Schmidt is really good at evaluating right now. So far, all A-plus marks for Bill Schmidt. Long season, but 15 games in, all right. I'm definitely buying what you're selling. I'm not buying it like Tanner. Tanner wrote a blank check. He doesn't care. He just says, here it is, cash in. The ugly. Ooh. The Colorado Avalanche have now lost not one, not two, not three, but 4 in a row. I know they're injured, But the question still is there. Are you concerned? Is it panic button time for the Avalanche? And Jags, you lost four in a row. There's only a few games left. You're going to go limping into the playoffs as a favorite, right? You were the favorite to win. And if we're going to give you praise and say you're the greatest hockey team in the world when you're winning, isn't it fair to say we're going to put the pressure on and panic button on perhaps if you are losing? And I know you have a lot of injuries. I know that, but you've been overcoming it all year. So absolutely, panic button time. I mean, if you don't think so, you're blind. You've lost four in a row. You have three games remaining. How about this one? They should get past the first round still, right? If they don't, you know heads are rolling. That's how big a four-game losing streak is going into the playoffs. Now, I know hockey's a completely different sport, but don't you feel like in hockey you want to be playing your best? You want to be playing your best when you're getting ready to get into the playoffs? I would think so. Huh. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. I got a poll question for you today, our Method Flow Products poll question. I was at spring ball for UNC this Saturday. Also, CSU was rocking and rolling. It was a busy, busy weekend. CU was going as well. I'm going to talk about CSU here. With all the positive buzz surrounding Colorado State this spring, would failing to get to a bowl game be considered a letdown for you? I'm curious, because it's a new staff, and I understand that. That's why one of the options is new staff, new look, zero expectation. Or is it yes? Or is it no, but must improve from last year? They win three last year, I think. Was it three? I think I expect them to go to a bowl game. I don't think that's a letdown for me, but I do expect. So I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to answer my own question. Yes, it'll be a letdown. And 58% of the hooligans agree. Noob says on the Avalanche thing, they're resting a bunch of guys, but I get your point. They're resting and they're hurt. But when do you start worrying about this? When do you start saying, okay, I get it. We want to be healthy. We want to make sure we're good. But losing carries over. When do you start saying we can't be doing that anymore? You got three games left. Don't you say, okay, we got Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Don't you want to see like tonight or tomorrow night? Like, let's rev this thing up. Let's go beat St. Louis. Let's get the bad taste out of our mouth. I'm just saying, a four-game losing streak is scary, no matter how you go about doing it. Lost to Winnipeg 4-1, Edmonton 6-3, Seattle 3-2, and Washington 3-2. There's a little bit of a panic there. Yes, 23 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. We will have Jerry Schimmel on the program, the voice of the Rockies, on at 12:30, Jades. I did not tell you that. I'm telling you now. I apologize. But the world knows now, and you must make it so. Also, trying to get Zach Stevens on. We can't get he's the busiest guy in all of the world. We're going to try to get him on in the second hour. He actually is pretty damn busy. Because guess what's happening on Thursday, Jades? Draft night. You coming out? You coming out to Crazy Carl's? Yeah. Crazy Carl's Pizza off Timberline in Fort Collins. We're going to be there from 6 to 10 o'clock, way past Jade's bedtime. But we're going to have a blast, man. We're going to be talking about the Broncos. We're going to be talking about the Rams. We're going to get insiders on. We are hopeful, crossing our fingers, that we're going to be able to catch up with none other than Trey McBride, the tight end that will go in the first round. We will be right there to cover it. 24 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1. And 1310 KFKA.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man Brady Hall and the Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
29 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Yeah, do not forget Thursday, if you're out and about, you want to come hang out at a great establishment in Fort Collins. I know, for my Greeley listeners, it's a drive in Denver and all that stuff, but my Fort Collins listeners, come on out. Anybody come on out, man. It's going to be a blast. I'm going to be on from 6 to 10, Jades. 4 hours of nonstop NFL draft coverage. We're going to talk about the key positions in the draft. We'll go over the picks as they come live to us as well. So I'm looking forward to it. Is Trey McBride going to go in the first round? I still think he's going to. I think a lot of what you're hearing from the Mel Kuypers of the world is like this smokescreen. Because I think that's what teams are doing, because they want him. They want this guy. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. With all the positive buzz surrounding Colorado State this spring, would failing to get to a bowl game be considered a letdown? 55% of the Hooligans say yes, and 22% say no, but most improved from last year. Third place in the voting is new staff, new look, zero expectations. I got expectations. I think they should be good. I think they should at least be a bowl-type team. I really do. Just based on every, you know, this high-flying offense. And honestly, that's because of Jay Norvell's pedigree. He had one bad season with Nevada, and that was it. Other than that, he has been pretty darn good. He went 3-9 his first year with Nevada, which was his first head coaching gig. The next year, 8-5. The next year, 7-6. The next year, 7-2, short season. And then the next year, 8-4. The final year, 8-4. So, yeah, I expect Jay Norvell to do more than, you know, he's only had 1 year ever of winning less than six games. And I don't see him doing that with Colorado State. I think this, and again, I'm not seeing the other Mountain West teams. I know they're better than Wyoming. There's one win. So I think they're going to get six. I do. It's amazing how quickly you can get six and how rough it is on you if you can't find a way to do it. First season, though, I mean, it's not like he's going to get fired or anything. People love him. Colorado State loves Jay Norvell. Matt Mummy. Clay Millen, Tony Horton. I mean, there is a lot of guys that I'm pretty dang pumped about. Kevin Lytle outlined, did I say Tony Horton? I meant Torrey Horton. My bad. All right? Take it easy. Torrey Horton, though, we do need to memorize his name. That guy's going to be the next member of wide receiver U. Melquan Stovall had a monster catch, too, that I saw. Good stuff happening with CSU. I was at UNC on Saturday. We did a broadcast there. I'm going to break into that as well. But coming up next, we're going to bring on, I think it's fair to say, one of my top 10 friends now. Top 10. Jerry has moved in that area because he invited me to go sit in the booth and watch him call a game with Jack Corrigan last week. Tanner was with me, and that was a blast. So I think that we've moved up in that area. 12:32 the time. We got a short break coming up. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 37 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline. Moving up into best friend territory pretty quickly. When you invite me to a booth, yes, you move right up there. Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies, along with Jack Corrigan. Jerry, my friend, thanks for being on with us as always.
Absolutely, Brady. Always great to come on. I'm glad we can still do this on a weekly basis, even though I'm not doing the Bears games these days. So, and by the way, loved having you and Tanner in the booth last week. That was fun.
It was a blast. And I thought we were special, though, Jerry. We were sitting there, and there were two beautiful ladies that sat next to us. And, of course, they looked at Tanner and I both, and I said, hi, that's it. And they said, are you guys the radio guys? And, of course, you know, Tanner and I were like, well. And then they said Jerry told us to say that. So I was like, oh, dang, Jerry, wow. We thought we were famous for 5 seconds.
Well, you're famous in my mind. I can tell you that, Brady. And you know what? If those two people got to know you, you'd be famous in their eyes, too. I promise you. If they could listen to you on the radio.
I did tell them that after that, they have to listen. And I know they're not Coloradoans, but I did say you're going to have to figure it out. You got to listen every single day now. So, but, Jerry, it was an absolute blast to get up there. It's such a beautiful view to watch a game from there. My goodness. So, you know what? I can see why you went back to the Rock just a little bit. I'm starting to understand it a little bit.
Yeah, that's a pretty good view, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that, Brady, by the way, that's one of the better spots in Major League Baseball for a radio booth. We go to some places, including Texas, where we went earlier, where we're literally on top of the building. We are at the very top. The Nationals, Washington's that way, Pittsburgh's that way, Atlanta's that way now. And it is a whole different ball game up there. It is really, I'll tell you what, and I'm not complaining, I'm just stating the fact, it's difficult to do play-by-play when you're that high, because any ball that's hit in the air, you don't know whether it's a pop up in the infield or it's has a chance to be a home run. You have to react to the fielders. So you have to discipline yourself as a play-by-play guy to put like a 3 or 4 second delay on every time the ball is in the air and then figure it out. So it becomes challenging, but Coors Field is certainly not that way.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you're right. Absolutely beautiful. Well, let me ask you this, Jerry. How about in Detroit, game one? Let's go to game one. I got a lot of positives after that, though. We can get to it. Were you able to tell the hits there and that? There were a lot of hits going on for the Tigers in game one.
Yeah. Comerica Park's a beautiful place. It's a lot like Coors Field, but you know, game one was, you know, there was so much hype and there's so much energy in the building because of Miguel Cabrera and the chance to get 3,000 hits that I just didn't see the Rockies winning that game, just going into it. I just felt like the baseball gods were saying, you know, this is Miggy's day and this is the Tigers' day. He's been here for 15 years and we're going to give him his time. And so I wasn't shocked that the Rockies got beat. I was certainly surprised I got beat 13-0 and gave up 20 hits in that game. But you know what, and I know you're getting to this, but, man, they showed resiliency. To come back in that second game and win yesterday really shows a lot about this team.
Well, Jerry, yeah, talk to us about that. I mean, that's the game of baseball, though, 13-0 for the night. It's, man, that seems terrible, but we knew it was a doubleheader. And you can't. You have no room to sit back, get sad, feel sorry for yourself. You got to turn right around. They not only turn it around and win that game, regular kind of score for baseball, 3-2, they go on to win the series. So let's talk about Austin Gomber, who's been, I think, surprisingly really, really good, and that finding a way to bounce back and get that win was a big deal.
Yeah, it really was, Brady. And that's, you know, Bud Black says this all the time, but it's so true, and people get tired of it, and they kind of make fun of him on social media with it, but that's baseball. You can get beat 13-0 and come back in the second game with a doubleheader and win a game 3-2. It happens all the time in baseball. And you're going to get those kinds of games. You're going to get the game, Brady, where you win 13-0 as well as get beat 13-0. That's just what happens in 162 games at this Major League level. Different in college, of course it is. High school, it's all different that way. But Major League Baseball, anybody can beat anybody anytime. It's not like football where you go on the road and you're Jacksonville and you're playing Chiefs. You're not going to win that game. But in baseball, you have that chance. So, and then just to forget about it, to have that short memory, come back in that second game, like Charlie Blackman said on yesterday, or I guess it was Saturday night, he said, you know what? What you do is just have a short memory. Just forget about that game. Lace them back up. Come out in the second game and let's compete again. And that's the attitude this team takes. And then they came back and had a terrific victory yesterday. So to get to your question about Austin Gomber, I am with you. I'm so with you on him. He had great stuff yesterday in that second game. So he's Jack Corgan said this to me, I think, off the air. But he said, when that guy is on, his stuff is as good as any left-hander maybe in the National League. And that was a player that Jeff Bridges, when he made that trade with the Cardinals with Arenado, insisted that the Rockies get back as he saw that potential too.
We're talking to Jerry Schimmel, one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies. Yeah, that's again, if these starting pitchers outside of Freeland and Marquez can really bring it on a fairly regular basis, boy, you're going to be feeling like you're playing with house money, because that was kind of the question mark. Not those first two guys on the pitching staff, but the rest of the starting rotation, the bullpen as well. So so far so good. The Rockies, it's crazy to say this, but 15 games in, and the Rocks have yet to lose a series. You mentioned Charlie Blackmon, one of the leaders of this team, whether he's cooking out on the field or not. He was looking like Charlie Blackmon of old, Jerry, yesterday in that 6-2 win.
Yeah, no question about it. Just a clutch hitting. Came up that big two-run RBI, two-run single he had with two outs was just gigantic. I just figured, the Rockies are going to win this game after that hit. So he did. He looked like Charlie Blackmon of 2017 when Charlie was one of the very best hitters in baseball. And just shows he's slowed down a little bit. I think, he's lost a step or two. But, man, the guy can still hit. You put him out there, and he can still make great contact with the baseball. So, yeah, I think Bud Black gets a little bit of criticism on social media early on this season because he's playing Charlie every day. Well, we saw the reason for it yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. And then, and again, that's a testament to Bud Black, too. Also kind of just hanging in there, the belief in his guy. Charlie Blackmon, like you said, outside of 2017, there's been some off and on questions. I've been one of them, certainly, that has questioned, the future of what it looks like for Charlie Blackmon. But again, you do look at it early in the season, and so far that proved to be a nice test of patience and resiliency on both Bud Black and Charlie Blackmon's part.
Yeah, absolutely, Brady. And, I think when you look at Charlie's situation, I think he's in a great spot, and the manager's in a great spot because you've got a lot of depth in the outfield now, and you can take Charlie out and put a defensive replacement in late in the game. When you're ahead, you can DH Charlie to get him off his feet. He's still an adequate outfielder. He played a couple balls off the wall in that homestand that he looked like the old Charlie Blackmon doing. So, yeah, he's still productive. And, it's just the kind of guy you want on your team. He's a winning player, as Bud Black says. You want that guy on your team. He's not a rah-rah guy. Doesn't say a whole lot. But, boy, his actions speak pretty loudly.
No doubt a fan favorite for so many years now. Fans, even the ones that are critical of Charlie, they're rooting for him big time to turn this thing around on a consistent basis. Jerry, have you had a Philly cheesesteak sandwich just yet, my friend?
I haven't had one of those, but they might be serving that in the press room tonight. So I might have to wander over there and see if I can grab one of those. But no, I haven't yet.
You've had them before, though, right? I mean, how do they compare?
Well, I tell you, I have a brother that lives here in Philadelphia, and he has taken me. He says, don't just go around the corner to, the chain and get that Philly cheesesteak. Let me take you to the authentic spot. So we go in South Philly, some, dangerous neighborhood where, people are laying dead in the street,
oh,
and he takes me to it. No, I mean, but, it was run down. It was old, but it was famous, and it was fantastic. So it was completely different than the cheesesteak you might think. So I'm looking forward to maybe doing that one of these days when my brother comes over to a game.
Jerry, I think from now on, when we have you on and we know you're on the road, we're just going to, we got to figure out what's famous in that area, and you tell us what it is and when you're going to go try it, and give us your review, too. I'm a big, I'm not even a foodie. I'm a turkey sandwich guy, and that's it. But I like to see people's reviews of food for some reason. So, Jerry, I would very much enjoy that from you.
You know what? I am not a foodie either, and I have tried for the last probably decade to eat really healthy. So I don't venture out a whole lot. what I can maybe review is the Liberty Bell.
Let's do something maybe educational.
Rather than the restaurants. Yeah, maybe something that other people can enjoy. But that's the stuff I like to do. I love geography. I love history, and maybe we could do a few of those reviews sometime.
I mean, Jerry, have you met my listeners before? They're not going to know what you're talking about, man. They're going to go back to the cheesesteak sandwiches again. Jerry, let's get to the series. The Rockies beat the Phillies at home. They win the series, but they did not win that game that we were at, of course. We had to ruin the sweep there for everybody. But they get their chance to go back. There's a four-game series against Philadelphia. I just get the sense that the Phillies are going to turn it around at some point. It's so early. But so far, there's been a lot of question marks surrounding Philadelphia.
Yeah, there have been. And, they had their best record in, I think, 12 years last year. So they went 82-80. They hadn't been to playoffs since 2011 when they had that great run with all those studs. And they, I don't know if you watched any of the game last night. They were on ESPN, got beat 1-0, and Kyle Schwarber went absolutely crazy at the end when he got a called third strike to finish the game, and just went berserk. I mean, fans, if you haven't, folks, listeners, if you haven't seen that, look it up on YouTube. But it's pretty embarrassing for him in the Phillies. So they're struggling a little bit. They've lost five of their last seven. But you're right. That's a very, very talented offensive lineup. Pitching probably is a little bit behind their offense, but it's a very dangerous team.
Yeah, well, what do you think in this one? Again, it's all about kind of early tests if you're watching this Rockies team. And again, so far so good. They have yet to lose a series. So, I mean, four-game series here. What are your expectations, Jerry? Is this one of those where you go, all right, find a way to split this series on the road? Because we know road trips for the Rockies recently, for sure, have been tough for them.
Yeah, they have been. I think you come away with a split. And then you get that series win like they did in Detroit. You're probably feeling pretty good about it. Obviously, you want to get a little more selfish than that and try to get, you know, three games at least. But what I'm looking forward to is Kyle Freeland and Eermann Marquez. Both have not pitched very consistently, especially Kyle Freeland. He was better last time out, and Marquez has had one good start, and that's it. So those two guys go tonight and tomorrow, Freeland, Marquez. I just look for them to pitch better. And if that's the case, then I think the Rockies have a great shot to at least split, maybe win this series.
Jerry, my friend, we'll be looking forward to your call as always. Apologize for the roof noise. They're working on our roof here, Jerry.
Wow.
You know from experience, we needed it. So we're going to have a brand new roof. We don't need a fancy Rockies booth, Jerry. We're getting a new roof here, okay?
That did scare me for a second. I thought you guys were in trouble.
I'm getting texts.
Tornado come through.
Chiming in, and they're freaking out. So I'm like, I better make mention of something here so Jerry doesn't think I'm just out in a field somewhere doing this broadcast.
Hey, and speaking of that, I got to tell you this quick story, Brady. Yesterday during the game, seventh inning in Detroit, I hear this crash. I'm on the air. I'm talking in the seventh inning. I hear this crash, and then I hear this rumbling under my feet, like this vibration. I'm thinking, what in the heck? Did the bomb go off? And I'm looking at the crowd. Nobody's really looking around or anything. Turns out they were pushing an oven behind in the hallway behind us, where our booth is right by the kitchen and the media room. They were pushing on two-wheeler an oven, and it stole and crashed in the hallway.
Oh, my gosh. And you were still in the air while this is happening?
Yes, I was on the air for months. I was a little freaked. I was like, I wonder if a bomb is just going off.
Oh, wow. So, wow, that would be – well, and again, you being the broadcaster that you are, I'm sure that if you're listening, nobody even had a clue that anything was happening.
I hope I didn't startle anybody.
Jerry, you be careful, man. Look, watch your feet, look out below, and you be careful tonight, okay?
All right, Brady. Good to talk to you, my friend.
All right, man. That's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies. Yeah, he's not lying about that Schwarber eruption either. He went absolutely off. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but I get being frustrated with bad calls. I do, but my goodness, that was a little crazy. We'll get to that. 51 minutes after the hour, short break coming up. I'll wrap up hour number one. Is it panic time for the Colorado Avalanche? We'll get more into the Nuggets, Warriors. What are your expectations for Wednesday? And did yesterday's win do something for you as far as Michael Malone status, Will Barton status, Nikola Jokic MVP status? Did it move the needle up or down? Because some people were like, is Malone the guy for the future? Should we move on from Barton? Is Joker a real MVP? So let's talk about those things coming up. Also, draft day almost here. Thursday, big day coming up for the Denver Broncos, if they get aggressive and move back into the first round, for sure, paying attention to, you know, Wyoming, CSU, what happens in the first round of the draft for them. 51 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Five minutes until the top of the hour. Thanks for being with us here on The Whole Show. If you miss any portion of the program, we got our podcast available at thewholeshow.com or 1310kfka.com. So just make sure you check them out. If you can't listen to the full show, you miss an interview, whatever, you want to go back, we've got the podcast for you all the time. What do you think about Schwarber, Jades? I mean, he was so animated, throwing his bat down, jumping up and down, screaming, wouldn't leave, coming back. And I get it. Angel Hernandez is terrible. I get it. He's terrible. But is it, like, did it warrant that big of the reaction? I don't know, man. I'm just trying to think, like, if this was a non-sports world, what's the maddest you've ever been, Jades? Have you ever jumped up and down in anger? Like what we saw with Shore, like he was totally, looked like my kid. My kiddo. Love him to death, but when he gets mad, he looked a little bit like Schwarber. I'm just throwing it out there, man. You're still a grown-ass man. You still got to handle your business like a man. You want to get in his face and rip and roar and yell, have a yell off? Great. But Schwarber was just all over. He's animated. I'm not into it. That's ridiculous. A little too much. He looked like he was dancing out there doing the Macarena or something. I'm all about yelling if you need to get your point across. I mean, what, he's ejected anyway. But it looked a little crazy to me. Just a little too much. Was he justified in being mad? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It was a terrible call. Sequence of terrible calls. Get it? But you're still an adult, right? I mean, just think about it. Have you ever acted that way? I've never acted that way. And I've acted a lot of ways. But I've never been so mad that I'm like jumping up and down and flailing. 12:57 the time. Just handle your business like a man. All right. Second hour coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.